Yeah, you can download it. It's really cool. Anyway, so we're dedicating this to Twilight Week and weeks to come because we know Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 is going to be here to stay for probably weeks, probably a month, maybe a couple months, because this is a blockbuster. And joining us right now, all the way from California, Rami Malek. Congratulations on Breaking Dawn Part 2 opening night tonight, Rami.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much. You know, and it's going to stay longer than a couple of weeks or months. I think it's called Twilight Forever somewhere.
Yeah, I believe it. I'm just such a big fan of Twilight. My name is Dave Isaac. I'm the host. We have Greg Isaac in studio as well as Joseph Erdo in studio.
Iardo.
Okay, he calls him Iardo. Anyway, but Rami, we're big fans of yours too. And let me just mention a few things. I mean, you play the part of Benjamin in Breaking Dawn Part 2, and you've been described as one of the most powerful of the vampires because of your ability to control fire, wind, water, and earth. Tell us how it feels to be part of the Twilight saga and the fact that you're coming in on the last installment.
Well, I mean, you really don't realize what it's going to be like until you, you know, you go to a premiere or you go to Comic-Con. You see how just wild and crazy these fans are, how dedicated they are, how much they care about the series, and you realize they're going to be fans of yours for life. So that's one aspect of it, and it's been great to work with Bill Condon, a great director, on this film, and have a, you know, like you said, a character with a lot of great power and, you know, things you don't usually see. It's a bit of X-Men type of field bringing into a Twilight film. So that was cool.
Yeah, very, very popular. And, you know, we had Stephen Furst on our show about a month ago. He's most known as Flounder in Animal House, that great film. He was on Elsewhere, Babylon 5, to name a few. And when he auditioned for Veer on Babylon 5, he said it was like the part was made for him and his personality. Was the part of Benjamin, in terms of the qualities of the part, did it feel like an extension of your personality, or was it very, very different?
No, you know, it was... It kind of just happened really quickly. I got a call from the agent, and they talked to me about it. And I thought, Twilight is it, you know, I thought about it. Is this going to get me into trouble work wise, or is this going to be a great thing? And they convinced me that it would, you know, it could only benefit. And I got a call from the director after I auditioned, and that's when I realized, you know, we were going to have a really good filming experience. But it was nothing right off the bat. Like, I felt some intrinsic connection to the guy. But we worked on it together, Bill and I, the director, and in the end, we had a great time filming it.
Well, you know, Rami, this is Joseph here, and I'm the only of the three of us who have gotten a chance to see this, is lucky enough to see this film already. I saw it last night with a bunch of fans who submitted limericks to us and got a chance to see it as well. But so I'm not going to spoil it for anyone, but you have this terrific scene during this battle sequence, I'll say that, where you make something happen. You use your fist and do something. You punch the snow and something happens. What, you look so angry in this scene. What were you thinking about that made you so angry?
I don't want to give anything away because I feel like you're on the verge of it already, but you know, it's the end of the movie and the end of the franchise. I think you just got to take it to a different level, and that's what I was trying to do.
Okay.
Now, stepping away from Twilight a little bit, could you pronounce Julia Roberts' character's last name and Larry Crown for us?
Is it Tano? Tybo?
There you go. great movie, by the way. I also wanted to mention, before I get to some questions here, sure. I first noticed you, I'm a big fan of Family Guy, and I was obviously a few years back, I believe 2005, watching Family Guy, and either it was right before or right after The War at Home came on, and your character, Kenny, I thought you were fantastic in that show, and it really made the show, and it was phenomenal. Do want to ask you, what's your favorite role to date that you have taken, Ben?
Without a doubt, that's got to be playing Snafu in the World War II miniseries, The Pacific. It took about, you know, almost 10 months to a year to film over in Australia, and just formed some incredible bonds, and getting the chance to portray, you know, some real men who went and fought for our country in World War II was something I cherish and can never forget. And to work with Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, and guys like Tim Van Patten, who does Boardwalk Empire, he's just a great guy, and Gary Getzman. These guys are, you know, incredible people, and I still have relationships with all of them today and all the fellas. So that's something I can absolutely never forget, and I love so much those relationships.
Oh, yeah. No, your character, Snafu, was great, and obviously that was a great miniseries there on HBO. And then you obviously work with Tom Hanks again with Larry Crown, as we mentioned. And now, looking, you've done a whole variety of characters, you know, comedic, obviously serious, and then more of action-adventure in a way now with Twilight. What type of genre do you prefer? Do you prefer any in particular, or do you value all the same?
I like very well-rounded characters. If they happen to have something really difficult going on in their life, or they're just at a place where, you know, they've kind of exude some type of humor, I'll take it or leave it. As long as the character is well-rounded, I'm happy to do that. And I, like you said, I just like to portray a variety of different people. So having a chance to do a vampire for this was great. I was like, when am I ever going to play a vampire? Or, you know, when am I ever going to get to pull teeth out of someone, you know, in World War II? Or, you know, I play a lot of weirdos and serial killers, and I don't mind it. And then I can turn around and just play the goofy kid in the classroom. So it's all fun. It's all fun. It sometimes depends on what's going in my personal life. I can balance it out with what I'm doing professionally.
Well, speaking of weirdos and serial killers, tell us about Webb Porter. You played him in Alcatraz, that series, last year. I thought you did a great job as that character. Could you remind us a little bit about what Webb Porter was at Alcatraz for, and how you got into that mind frame?
Yes. What was he there for? You know, he... I think he had been subjected to some real painful experiences by his mother when he was young, and as a lot of serial killers are, that's how it starts. You know, some family member just giving them hell when they're kids, and that led to me killing a series of women and leading me into the confines of Alcatraz at a certain point. And I was a violin player. Took up violin as a means to relax while in Alcatraz, and as I return later, am I giving too much away, or should I keep talking?
No, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, as I come back later, I am still working on my violin skills, but now I am stringing my violin bow with the hair of the women that I kill.
Oh,
do you play the violin? Was that real or?
I did not play the violin, but I went crazy trying to learn how. I was, you know, this TV show shoot extremely quickly in comparison to film. So I was calling the producers and telling them to get on the phone with the composers in Los Angeles and get me, you know, that sheet music as quick as possible, because there were times when I was, you know, had to learn the song within 24 hours with it. The help of a violinist from up in Canada where we were shooting. So I was just begging them to get it as soon as possible, because, you know, I want those things to look as real as possible. And if it doesn't look like you're not playing the violin, then the whole character's lost and no one's going to believe anything. So
that sort of brings up a question. Are some parts harder to get into than others?
Yes. I would say that the ones that are not written quite as well are harder to sink your teeth into. When there's good writing, even though it may seem like a very difficult character from an outside perspective, when the writing's there all around, it just allows you to have more of a general understanding of what that person might be going through. And, you know, smaller parts are difficult because, you know, there's not much there. And it gives one, you know, the ability to prepare and just imagine and create on their own. But it always helps when there's a little bit of a framework to go from.
And you may have answered this question, but you know, how much flexibility is there for you as an actor to further develop, even though the screenplay may not have it in it? Can you do that as an actor?
I always try to have a discussion with the director beforehand as to what they're looking for and how many liberties I can take, because I try to take as many liberties as possible, because I don't want anything to be, we've seen before, anything expected. I like to, always come with something incredibly unexpected. And I just recently worked with Spike Lee, and I had this conversation with him. We're working on this film called Old Boy, and it's filming right now. It's a Korean remake. And we were having discussions about a number of different ways to go about playing this character, who is also a little bit off his rocker, that I'm playing. But so I was prepared to really, do anything and everything in this situation. I got up there with Spike, and Spike really settled me down on some cases, and then other times he looked at me and he's like, okay, do what you were telling me you wanted to do at the beginning of the movie. So try to come in as prepared as possible and just go to the nth degree, so I can always tone it down or bring it up depending on what the director is looking for.
Now, Rami, one of my favorite shows on TV right now, Dexter, of course, with Michael C. Hall. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Not sure if you watch it or not, but I would say he's one of my favorite characters, and I think that's a type of role as well that you would fit pretty well, because you're very versatile, and I think Michael C. Hall does a great job. But if there was ever another Dexter type of role, though, I can definitely see you filling that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can't do too many of them, or I don't know. Well, I really enjoy playing those guys. I get a lot of people always tell me, well, you look so innocent in real life.
No doubt. And
it's these murderers and villains. And yeah. I don't know. There must be some kind of dark side.
Just two more questions, if we could.
Sure.
You've been in film and television with some of the greatest actors of our time. I mean, Tom Hanks, Joaquin Phoenix, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Julia Roberts, to name a few, and we've mentioned some of those a little bit earlier. But what did you learn from them that isn't taught in the ordinary course of developing your profession?
What did Tom tell me? Tom says, always just make sure you hit your mark and you know your lines. And that's, very simple, but it really helps. There's, you never know when you're going to walk into a scene and someone doesn't have their lines down. It slows everything down from a producer's perspective, which he is. I'm sure that helps. He also said it's not all free haircuts and sandwiches. That made me laugh. But what have I seriously learned? He taught me a lot just about how dedicated he is, and that's the one thing I can say for all of them. From Tom Hanks to Joaquin, is extremely dedicated. Just goes, painstakingly to make sure that he's delivering the right performance. That's what I would say. Nobody's messing around here. I don't think anybody in that line of people you said is there, by chance. They've all worked their tail off, and that's one thing you can see right off the bat.
And that's a great lesson for anyone. I mean, a great lesson in any profession, and dedication, and they really take it seriously. I like that. And one last question, if we could, what does the future hold for you? I know you said you're making a movie now, Old Boy. Any other things coming up and things that maybe you want to do?
Yeah, well, there's a ton of... There's a lot of things I want to do. Sometimes, I can't provide the financing for the film that maybe, some bigger names can, but maybe that'll change later. But I'm working on I did a couple of independent films. A director called David Lowry. He's an up and coming director. He directed Casey Affleck, Rooney Mara, Ben Foster, and I in a film called Ain't Them Body Saints. That should be maybe hitting the Sundance circuit next year. And that's good. That's kind of got a Bonnie and Clyde theme too, and I had a great time working with Casey Affleck on that. And what else? I did this small movie here in Los Angeles called Short Term 12, and that's about kids in a foster home. And that'll show another comedic side of me, I hope, if it's cut well, about a guy who really doesn't know what he's getting into when he goes to work at a group home, actually. And now, Old Boy, working with Spike and Sam Jackson, Josh Brolin, and Lizzie Olsen. She's one of the younger Olsen sister. And working with Spike has been great. I love that man. We have a great relationship. So like you said, I'm getting to work with some incredible people, and I hope we don't jinx that.
Oh, no, I see such a great future for you. And Rami Malek, thank you so much for being on the magazine show today. And congratulations on Breaking Dawn Part 2, a blockbuster. I have not seen it yet. I want to see it probably tonight, and I'm willing to stand in line 6 hours. So
go do it.
Oh, yeah.
Go do it. It'll be fun. And thank you for having me, and I'm sorry we took Nash from you guys.
Oh, no. We're actually
Laker fans. Yeah. We're happy about it, too.
Yeah, this is very good. I can't wait to get – we have sports shows, too. Hey, are you a big sports fan?
Yeah, I am a big – I'm not a huge sports fan, but I like my – you know, I like my dose of sports, of course.
Wow, that's very cool. Lakers, Kings, Dodgers, Angels?
I grew up in Los Angeles, so I'm, of course, a big Dodger fan and a huge Lakers fan. I grew up just on the tail end of Showtime. So
Yeah. And Vin Scully.
I love hearing his voice. I think I could fall asleep to Vin Scully's voice.
Yeah. Wow, what a great career.
Yeah. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything as well to you guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much, we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right.
Thanks again. Bye. And, of course, that's Rami Malek playing Benjamin in Breaking Dawn Part 2 tonight, 10 p.m., get out there, see it as many times as you can, because I know I will, Joseph.
Well, and he was one, again, I can't say what I thought of the movie, but I believe that I could say that his performance in the film was excellent, and he was one of the standout new vampires in the film. Again, I think about 40 of them. Definitely one of the best.
Oh, this is so exciting. What versatility. I mean, come on, this is a talent.
Well, absolutely.
Rami Malek. What a great talent.
Well, absolutely, and has a good taste in sports teams as well. As everyone knows, I'm a big Laker and Dodger fan, as well as Los Angeles Kings fan. But I will say this, though. As I mentioned to him about the war at home, it was only on a couple seasons, but his character, Kenny, he did such a great job. It was a funny show, and he added a lot to that. You know, when you look up the line, as you mentioned with you know, he's on 24 guest starred and Alcatraz guest star, you know, so a huge swing. And then you really look at, as he mentioned, the Pacific, the miniseries. And I know that really caught Tom Hanks' attention, which is, you know, from what I understand, you know, a reason why you got him over for Larry Crown. He was just phenomenal. I mean, his character, Snafu, is one of those characters where, you know, you're just sitting around talking and you always look back, oh, yeah, Snafu, yeah, he said that. Or, you know, you kind of look back at that show. So, yeah, he definitely does a great job with the roles he's given.
No question about it. Why don't we take a quick break right now? When we come back, we will hear from Maggie Grace as well as Mia Maestro. We're still on the Twilight action because it hasn't been released, but... guess what? In about, 5 hours, 6 hours from now, it will be released. If you're not in line, I don't know what to say. I hope someone saved me a place. That's all I could say. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.